Psalm 127, we're going to read the entire psalm together. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So far God's word. I'd encourage you to keep the Bible open in your hands as we work our way through this passage. But first of all, let's ask for God's blessing on his word. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we praise your name that you have given this word to us this morning. We pray that you may open our hearts to receive your word. We pray that you may open our hearts to the challenge it brings. We pray that you may comfort our hearts with the encouragement that it brings us. Lord, your word can only affect us if your Holy Spirit is working in us. We pray that that may be true this morning. Press your truth against our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Nisi Dominus Frustra. Nisi Dominus Frustra. What on earth does that mean? It's the title of our sermon this morning. And that title is on the coat of arms of the city of Edinburgh in Scotland. Boys and girls, a coat of arms is a symbol. It used to be a symbol placed on a shield for a warrior in battle. And you'll see them on many buildings, or sometimes on letterhead as well. It's a symbol of what the church or the organisation believes in. And the words Nisi Dominus Frustra are the beginning of Psalm 127. And it means literally, without the Lord, frustration. Without the Lord, life is useless. If the Lord is not behind it, it is a waste of time. Be it your life, be it your work, be it your family, be it the church of God. Frustration, useless, vanity. Pretty strong words, aren't they? Life useless, without meaning. Or maybe it's simply there are parts of your life without the Lord. What does the psalm mean for us? As we consider parenting, as we consider our own daily lives. Well, this morning we're going to see, if the Lord is not behind your work, you are simply wasting your time. That's the main theme this morning. We're going to look first of all at work and life, and then we're going to focus, as the psalm does, into family. So our first point this morning is that the Lord needs to be behind our work. The psalm begins, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Now Mr. Donk is a builder. Mr. Henson is a builder as well. Is this psalm just for them this morning? Every morning when Mr. Donk picks up his hammer, or his nail gun it is nowadays, isn't it? When he picks up his nail gun, does he need to pray for the Lord's blessing? Well, he should. He should be praying throughout the day for the Lord's blessing on his work. But this psalm isn't just to house builders this morning, is it? Now the word house here, and the word house in the Bible, has many meanings. The Bible speaks about the house of Israel, the house of David. This psalm was a psalm that we believe was written by King Solomon himself. And King Solomon built an amazing house. An amazing house for God. I was reading this week through my Bible reading program about the wonderful picture of the temple that Solomon built. And you can just see Solomon looking at this temple, thinking about all the gold on the walls and the gold on the floor and all the valuable things that went in there, and saying to himself, unless the Lord is behind this work, unless the Lord is building this, it is all in vain. But the idea of house also means family. The idea of house can mean the wider church, the church as an organization. It can mean our own lives, the house, so to speak, of our own lives. The psalmist begins speaking about builders. He also speaks about watchmen, boys and girls. The watchmen were people who stood on the walls of a city, and their job was to stay awake for their time and look out across the plains, look out across the mountains, and take care and guard to see if there was any enemy coming. Now we're going to not focus so much on watchmen this morning, mainly the idea of building. And as we look at the idea of building, first of all, we're going to consider the church. Now we believe, and Scripture teaches, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. He's the head of the church. He is the master builder, as he promised the Apostle Peter. On Peter's confession, Jesus Christ was going to build the church. But do we really believe that? Do we really live that? Do we see Christ as head of our church? Do we see our goal as a church, or whatever church you may worship in, to further his kingdom? Is the gospel our number one priority? Or are we just simply doing church? We've been in an instituted congregation here in Rangiora for just over a year now. Does that mean we've made it? We've got an impressive array of activities that we are doing now as a church. We have ladies' fellowship group in two places. We have two catechism classes. We have a number of Sunday school classes. We even have a men's breakfast coming up. We have two church services on a Sunday. We gather together for lunch. Those are all good things. But they're not an end in themselves. As we do these things, as we're involved in these activities, are we seeking to see how God can use those to further his kingdom? To further his gospel? Or are we simply turning up, punching our ticket, eating our lunch, ticking the box? If that's all we're doing, Psalm 127 says that despite how good that activity may be, it is simply useless. Now verse 2 carries on and makes it a bit more personal as we look at our own lives individually. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. A picture that describes so many people's lives, it may describe in some ways your life. The idea of a 40-hour, 5-day working week is just history nowadays, isn't it? We live in a world where there are multiple jobs, where people get up early and work late, trying to burn the candle at both ends and burning out, chasing that lifestyle, chasing that holiday, making sacrifices. But what is being sacrificed? The family, for one. How difficult is it to get the family together? Life is busy, busy, busy. Children in general, in many places nowadays, are being raised less by their parents and more by daycares. We live in a world that seems to be getting faster and faster and faster. And there's a number of us young adults. Can I include myself in the young adults group? No, I see a few shakes. As a number of young adults heard yesterday, we live in a life in a world that's full of noise. And we can see how the psalmist says there in verse 2, eating the bread of anxious toil. We live in a day and an age where stress-related disorders are on the increase, anxiety is on the increase, mental health is a major problem, so much so that our government called our latest budget what? What was the latest budget called? The wellness budget, recognising the major problem that we have in our communities. But are we any different? Are you any different? We can fall into the same pattern ourselves. Getting up early, working late, busy, 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 chasing that elusive dollar, chasing that lifestyle, trying to get more, it's never enough. For what? For what? For ourselves? Or for the service of our God? The question that Psalm 127 asks us, asks you this morning is it worth it? Is it worth that job of working so hard, chasing those extra dollars, making that sacrifice, the sacrifice of sacrificing your family, sacrificing rest time, sacrificing fellowship, self-sacrificing Sunday rest? For what? Where are you placing your trust? In your own abilities, your own abilities to succeed? Or are you placing your trust in the Lord who gives you all good things? The Lord who looks after you. Because that's the idea there and the reminder there in the second half of verse 2. For he gives to his beloved sleep. There's two ways of looking at this idea of sleep here in verse 2 of Psalm 127. The first is the idea of insomnia, of lying awake at night, your mind churning over. Now, not all insomnia is a result of lacking in trusting God. I'm not saying that this morning. But some of it can be. Ask yourself this morning. Ask yourself in the middle of the night, am I giving things over to the Lord? Do I trust him? Can I place my trust in him, that he knows what he is doing? That he knows what's going on in my life? But there's another idea here. The idea is this, that even while we're sleeping, God is still at work. Organizing, putting things in place, taking care of us, because we have a God that never ever sleeps, who is always on duty, who cares for us, who works for us. I think of that child's prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I ask the Lord my soul to keep. Guide me safely through the night. Wake me with the morning light. That's what God is doing while we're asleep. So who's behind your life? Who's behind, who's with you, who's supporting you in your work, in your daily life? Do you place your trust in Jesus Christ? Do you seek to surrender everything and sacrifice all to him? Or are you allowing God to build part of the house? He can have one of the spare bedrooms and the bathroom, but I'm going to build the rest myself. Unless the Lord is building all the house, every single part of it, you are building in vain. Can you trust him? Can you sleep knowing that he is in control? Can you take your hands off the steering wheel and allow God to drive? The Lord needs to be behind our work, behind our life. It's true for us as a church. It's true for us as an individual, as we live before God, as we rest and trust in Him. But in the second half of our psalm, the psalmist concentrates, I should say, on the idea of family. And that brings us to our second and final point this morning. The Lord needs to be behind our families. Verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." We need to remember that. Sometimes in the middle of the night with feeding a baby, it can be hard to remember that they are a blessing, can't they? But I've been guilty of doing this, and I've heard others too, of making jokes about our children, of how rotten they can be, how difficult they can be, and sometimes it's not a joke. When we do that, what are we saying about God's gift to us? Are we saying that God has made a mistake? Now, I'm not saying we can't speak about our difficulties that we have in raising our children. I actually think that we should do that more, but that's different. For one thing, as we make jokes about our children, have you thought about what that means to those who hear those jokes, especially those who God has chosen not to bless with children, or not chosen not to bless with many children? Have you thought about how much that can hurt other people as well? And if you're in that position this morning, or you know someone who is in that position, I want to acknowledge your pain this morning. Not having children, not being able to have more children. As a church family, we're not always good at providing you the support that we should. But can I take you gently by the hand this morning and bring you with me to Psalm 127? And Psalm 170 reminds us that children are given to us by the Lord. It's not you. You can't decide to have children. That's from God's hand. So if God has not chosen to bless you in this way, that does not mean that He is punishing you. He is simply calling you to build your house in other areas. I want to acknowledge your pain, acknowledge your hurt this morning, but in love I'd also encourage you to consider the question, how is the Lord calling you to serve Him in His kingdom despite not giving you this particular blessing? And how are we supporting our brothers and sisters that we know of in our congregation? The psalm also tells us and reminds us, children are a blessing. And we're called in this psalm to build their lives for the Lord. And unless the Lord is in part of our parenting, unless the Lord is central to our parenting, we are wasting our time. Useless vanity. And it's not just parents that this call goes to. It goes to us as a church community. Whether we have children or don't have children. That's why we were asked the question in the form this morning when Oliver was baptized. Do you, the people of the Lord, promise to receive Oliver in love? And as the Lord gives you opportunity, pray for Oliver. Help care for his instruction in the faith and encourage and sustain him in the fellowship of believers. We all made that promise. The Lord is the master builder. But raising up our children, brothers and sisters, is a team build. It's a team effort. So Tyler and Charlie are involved in this promise as they help Jason and Christine raise Oliver. Boys and girls, as you look after Oliver, when Oliver decides when he can walk in a couple of months that it's a good idea to go for a swim in the pond, you're there to help direct him away from the pond, to tell him it's not a good idea. All of us, brothers and sisters, especially parents, but all of us are there involved in helping up raising our children. Boys and girls, in a few years, you may well be teaching Oliver Sunday school. Think about that. And as we seek to raise Oliver and the rest of our children, we need to seek to have God and Christ as the center. To teach our children about Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. And when we don't teach our children that, when we fail to make God the center, when we make our children the center of their lives, then we head down the track of vanity. That's the scourge of parenting according to the world today. Giving kids everything they want. Stopping them from failing, stopping them from falling. It's no wonder, brothers and sisters, that we live in a generation where people are unable to deal with failure. That's something we need to be very careful of as we raise our children. They are not the center of our lives. Serving our God and Father is, and we bring our children along in that journey. Because as we parent, as we raise up our children, we need to have an eternal view. And that's where verses 4 and 5 point us. That's where they take us. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Now note here, as an aside, it doesn't say how many arrows are supposed to be in that quiver. We're not told that. But what the psalmist does here is give us an eternal perspective. As we train our children, we have to train them in the gospel. As we teach them about Jesus Christ being sacrificed for their sins, as we bring them up in the ways of the Lord, as we teach them to hunger and thirst, to have a love for these words, we are training them up to be future warriors. We're training them for spiritual battle so that they can defend themselves, so that they can explain themselves. That they can fight the enemy. But as we're doing this, brothers and sisters, we need to remind ourselves again and again that it's the Lord that builds the house. We are simply his subcontractors. And guess what? Guess what? Because the Lord builds the house, his grace is bigger than our parenting. His grace is so much bigger than our parenting failures. So are we relying on him here as well? Remembering that it's the Lord that builds the house of the heart of our children. Now that's not an excuse to be lazy as parents. Well, I can just rest up and let the Lord do all the work. No, it's an encouragement. You are not raising your children alone. You do so with the wider community of the church, but especially you do so with the help of the Lord. Do your children see that? Do your children know that? Do the children of this church see us and see that for us as a community, a church community? Who is building your house? Because our children can see what's going on. They can see when we pay lip service to serving God, but don't show it in our lives, our conversations. Who is building your house? Is your life committed to the master builder, Jesus Christ? Is he central in your life? Not just for an hour on Sunday morning or evening. If Christ is not the center of your life, our children see that, and that is a bad witness for them. That's a responsibility that every one of us has in this church. If Christ is not the center of your life this morning, if you cannot call Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then your life will be one of frustration. Turn to Jesus Christ. Find true meaning for your life. If you are trying to keep Jesus Christ out of certain areas of your life, if you're ignoring him in certain areas of your life, you too are headed for frustration. What are areas in your life that you were trying to swing the hammer on your own? If Christ is not the center of your life, life will be one of frustration and uselessness. But if Christ is building your life, give thanks. Trust in him, rest in him, because he will never let you down. And no matter how much we fail as parents or as children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if the Lord is building our house, it will never, ever be in vain. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are the master builder. We thank you that because of the work of Jesus Christ, we can have the confidence and the surety that you are at work in our lives. Lord, we pray for us as a church, that we may not be a church that simply goes through the motions. Rather, a church that seeks to honor you, serve you, that is involved with each other as brothers and sisters with the common purpose of spreading, proclaiming the message of hope of Jesus Christ, of serving you in your kingdom. Forgive us for cold hearts where we do simply go through the motions. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us if we feel like we're trapped in the rut of busyness. Help us realign our focus to serving you. Help us to trust in you. Lord, we pray for the areas in our life where we struggle to give over control to you. We pray that you'd forgive us for living as Sunday Christians, coming to church on Sunday, going through the motions, but spending the rest of the week doing our own thing. Forgive us for that, we pray, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us as parents, as a church community, as we together raise up our children. Give us your grace, we pray, because we need that grace. We thank you that even through our failures, even through our failures as parents, you are still building the house of the lives of our children. Help us to trust you in that. Help us to model for our children as a church family that you are front and center in our lives. We pray for the hearts of our children this morning, we pray. We pray for those of us who you have not blessed with children. Be it through infertility, be it through singleness, be it through whatever reason. Lord, we pray that you would be with us as that hurts us. We pray that we as a wider congregation may show love and compassion. Forgive us for areas where we haven't done so. Help us together as your people to seek to build your house, your church, to seek to serve you in your kingdom. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that our children are part of that kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you are the master builder and that your job will be completed in us. We thank you that because you are building our house, our work is not in vain. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.